Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two live right here on this Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. The madness begins tonight in Dayton, Ohio. We will preview the first four in our doubleheader of matchups that we have in the NCAA tournament, as it truly does start today. We also have Major League Baseball to discuss. We have gone final in our first game of the regular season out in Tokyo, and some new markets that have emerged from the National Football League. Those divisional prices, who is going to win a title, who is going to get that automatic home game next year in the postseason. DRS, a lot to get to here in this second hour, including our initial thoughts on the first four tonight in Dayton.
Let me give you some initial thoughts right away, Ben, so you don't have to wait anymore. Let me understand this. You want to make me commissioner of college basketball right now? Where's the games being played tonight? Dayton, Ohio. Hear me out on this. Let's move this out of Dayton. Let's get to Vegas. Let's get to LA. Let's get to Miami. Let's get to the big cities, the party cities, the warm weather cities, like the boys from St. Francis, right? They're working hard. They didn't get spring break, Ben. They go to Dayton, Ohio. No. Send them out to L.A. Send them to Vegas. Like, at least if you lose, you can rent out a Hakkasan and go nuts out there with the boys and have some fun. What are you doing in Dayton? Remove it from Dayton. Let's expand it out there. Let's get to the big cities here. Let's have some fun with this. Come on. Everybody agrees.
That's what collegiate athletic department should be focused on, renting out clubs in Las Vegas. Dayton, Ohio is a great site to host First Four action, a very passionate basketball community that shows out each and every year. I am thrilled that the First Four is in Dayton. It should always be in Dayton, Ohio. All right, let's start with the beginning of the 2025 Major League Baseball season, the Tokyo series, a two-game set between the Dodgers and the Cubs, and it got started this morning, 6:10 a.m. Eastern time. Game number one of this Major League Baseball campaign is over. The Dodgers, a victory to start, a 4-1 win for L.A. They were about a $1.50 money line favorite in a total of 7.5 does stay under. DRS, Yoshinobu Yamamoto gets the victory in his first start of the year for L.A. Shohei Ohtani scoring a couple of runs for the Dodgers as well. And L.A. starts, as we expect, with a win. We have a preseason win total of 104.5. You are going to need to stack up a ton of wins to even flirt with that preseason win total. The Dodgers begin their season of 162 in the win column.
The game is over. The game stayed under. And also, like, if we are building this based on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Las Vegas, whoever, that's got to be bad for the books today, right? You know, Ohtani got a couple hits, didn't get the RBI I thought he might get. The Dodgers win the baseball game, which is the favorite. Everybody probably thought that was going to happen here, at least general public speaking here. And the under, which usually we love when two-star pitchers on the mound to start the season in unfriendly territory or unfamiliar territory, I should say. So that game goes under at this point. But also, like, get back to the point, like, this was Major League Baseball's unofficial start to the season. And I understand it was played at 6 a.m., which is great because I'm up and I can watch it. But even me, like, turning the game on, no excitement for me, Ben. Like, no, like, ooh, baseball's back in my life. Like, it didn't register. You know, like, next week on Thursday, like, it really hits you, like, all the teams play and how ceremonious it is for opening day and the excitement where every team thinks they can make a World Series run. Like, you had two superstar-laden teams here playing at 6 a.m. in the morning, and quite frankly, the joke was yesterday when we showed up on set, including me, one of the biggest baseball guys you have. Oh! I forgot baseball had a game tomorrow. That should never happen. Can you, Ben, can you imagine the NFL? Packers-Eagles had no idea it was tomorrow. No, what other sport would do this to themselves? Only Major League Baseball.
The NHL does start out in Eastern Europe as well, making the timing of it all seem a little bit peculiar. I agree, DRS. It is clearly for the international brand, and I'm sure they have done great in Japan, especially with the Japanese superstars that dot both of these lineups and even the starting rotations. But to your point, it does lack a little bit of luster here stateside, especially when it's a 6:10 a.m. Eastern time start. A little bit after 5 a.m. Central Time, local there in the Windy City. 3:10 a.m. Pacific Time out in Los Angeles. The Dodgers, the reigning World Series champs, the very short World Series favorites at plus 240. Donnie, there is more than a $6.50 gap for the Dodgers and everybody else to win a World Series now in 2025. These odds did not update after the Dodgers won their first game of 162. That is the preseason expectation. It is frankly ridiculous to see, but that will be what the Dodgers are anticipated for doing this year in 2025.
Yeah, the Dodgers, most people, you know what, they won game one. I'll drop them from plus 240 to minus 130 as a price because they're unstoppable, clearly, because you're going to get timely hitting, great pitching, which is exactly what you anticipate. And also, have we ever saw it? I mean, to be honest, have we ever saw a plus 240 and a 9-1 before the season opened up as a too close? I can't imagine there's been that big of a gap. But also understanding this, like betting wise, right? If you said right now, like, hey, the Dodgers are going to win the World Series, okay, put money down, but you're not getting paid 7, 8, 9 months from now. Does it make a smart investment? Usually want to wrap your money up 10-1, 20-1 if you feel you have an opinion. But I can't even disagree with this. They are so deep and talented, Ben, and every baseball season I take a look at, it's not even like what the Dodgers look like on opening day. It's, you know, when they get to the deadline, they can afford any player in baseball, they have the best prospects in baseball, and they don't care about the amount of money or capital it has to spend to get those players here. Like, we weren't long ago where, Manny Machado was on the Dodgers. You know, like, Max Scherzer and Trey Turner got traded to the, like, we forget about what the moves they do. Like, ooh, that'll bury you for a long time because you didn't get anything back in return when Machado went somewhere else. Like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, this team, this version of the Dodgers on opening day, barring, again, disastrous injury, the version will be better after the deadline. And you see the price point that it is right now. I'm not saying bet the Dodgers at this point because I'm not betting them at plus 240. But that price point, Ben, 100% warranted.
And it is DRS. And today they weren't even at a full 100% health. Mookie Betts did not play with that illness, as you shared.
Neither Freddie
Freeman, a late scratch out of this lineup. Two perennial all-stars, two of the best players in Major League Baseball not there. And the Dodgers still handle business, winning 4-1. Yoshi Yamamoto, 5 innings of work, only 3 base knocks allowed, just a single earned run in the bullpen, holding down the fort for LA. Game number 2 tomorrow, 6:10 a.m. Eastern time. The Dodgers will be booked as a favorite. Roky Sasaki makes his MLB debut for Los Angeles, but in Japan. All right, new markets out in the National Football League early in the offseason. We have seen the Super Bowl prices. We have seen conference championship odds and now divisional numbers as well. Let's start in the AFC. 3 of our 4 divisions, a minus money favorite. The Buffalo Bills have won the AFC East 5 consecutive years. That minus 220 price, probably justified. We know the AFC North is darn good. Minus 140 number, though, in favor of the Ravens, who have won this division now 2 consecutive campaigns. The AFC South, intriguing. The Texans have won this division 2 straight years at plus 140. But the AFC West might even be more enticing. The Chiefs are odds-on favorite at minus 150. But Kansas City has won the AFC West 9 straight NFL seasons. And yet the odds makers who priced KC around a minus 250 price last offseason might just believe, Donnie, that the Chargers, the Broncos, playoff teams from a year ago could give KC a run for that top spot in the division.
Oh, they'll give him a run, which means that they'll play KC and somehow like a missed field goal or a late fumble or a ridiculous call happened and the Chiefs will end up winning that division. Andy Reid going to be, look, let's go back to last year, Ben, same shows. Andy Reid going to be there? All right. Mahomes going to be there? Okay, they win that division. Now, last year I was using it as a Super Bowl and heaven forbid my Eagles ended up beating them, but they still got to the Super Bowl. Same premise, run it back for 2025. Looking at the other teams, the Buffalo Bills, rightfully so, should be the favorite. Love that team. Yep. Some turmoil on some other teams in that division. They should handle it. You take a look quickly at the Baltimore Ravens. They should be there. The Texans, yes, and the Chiefs. No arguments there, but there is one price point here that we'll go over after the break where I think this team is underpriced right now. I think they're going to win the division, but I think the price point is misplaced there where you might be able to make some money if things go correctly here.
Divisional numbers around the National Football League. Yep. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
New prices out around the National Football League early in the offseason. We have seen Super Bowl 60 odds for quite some time. Conference championship numbers as well. Let's talk those divisional favorites around the National Football League. We start in the AFC. Once again, the Bills, a hefty favorite. The strongest of all of our favorites in this conference, minus 220 to win the AFC East. The Ravens, minus 140 to win the AFC North. The Texans, plus 140 to win the AFC South. And the Kansas City Chiefs at minus 150 to win the AFC West. Donnie, everybody on that screen has at least won that division two consecutive years. Buffalo five times in a row in the AFC East. The Chiefs nine seasons consecutively in the AFC West. But right before the break, you said there is a team in the AFC that you think might present some value or is maybe underpriced. Which team? Which division?
AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers, 7-1 price here. And I'm not a Mike Tomlin lover at the point where it's like he's going to win 13, 14 games or make a Super Bowl run. You're taking a look at price points and how effective they can be. A 7-1 price where the understanding is they're going to get a veteran quarterback in here, or they're going to draft a young, talented guy. Let's just say Shedeur Sanders falls down, they make a trade up to get him. That price point at 7-1, even with a rookie, I would buy into that. If they get Aaron Rodgers at 7-1 with that roster, I'm buying into that. And again, understand this. The tickets for the futures are meant to make money here. So if you're saying, Donnie, that's so stupid, the Steelers will never win it. Well, understand this, at a 7-1 price here to win the division, I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about 2 weeks to go in an NFL season where the Pittsburgh Steelers are right in it to win that division where that ticket made sense and a payoff. Now, if they do go with, Russell Wilson comes back, no, I don't like that. But for me, I think the Steelers understand the magnitude here. They're not in a position where saying we're tearing it down. They signed DK Metcalf, brought him over in a trade. They have talent on defense and on offense. They're not looking to go with a bridge quarterback who they don't think can get them over the hump, which means playoffs and a playoff victory. And if I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and let's just say it's Aaron Rodgers at a 7-1 price point, the Bengals are ahead of him at plus 210. They were missed the playoffs last year with everybody they're signing right now. And the Baltimore Ravens love them. With Lamar Jackson, if he's healthy, they probably do win the division. I just think that price point for the Steelers at 7, not a Super Bowl, not an AFC championship, just a division at 7-1. No, that's too low. It's too low.
Yeah, DRS, listen, I don't think you're flawed in that line of thinking. 18 years for Mike Tomlin in the Steel City. Never a losing record, never fewer than 8 wins. And with very questionable quarterback play the last half decade, Pittsburgh has still been a playoff team 4 of those 5 seasons. Are they going to win the division? Probably not. Come December, are they going to be in the playoff hunt? Probably. Regardless of who they play at the quarterback spot, it seems, based on nearly 20 years of a sample size for Pittsburgh. Donnie, I do want to focus on the AFC North. Of course, the Bengals, after the big-time signings and the new contract extensions for T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, there will be some thought since he is ready to go once again. They have paid their big-name players, not on the defensive side of the ball, but offensively. And if Joe Burrow is healthy and Ja'Marr Chase is healthy and happy with his money and T. Higgins is healthy and happy with his money, since he should be a playoff team, would you bet the price on the Bengals? Would you look at the 18-1 number to win a Super Bowl plus 850 to win the AFC? Is there any price point you would be willing to back the Bengals at this time?
It's a tough division because the Ravens are going to be good, the Bengals are going to be good, and so are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, good is defined by, for me, over 500, which means you're not getting layups. You're like, oh, I'll play them week 17 and they're a terrible team. Maybe the Browns might be that, but not the other teams. But for me, for the Bengals, I shoot higher. The 210 price to win the division doesn't do it for me. The one thing, you know what I do love, is if they are healthy and make the playoffs at the end of the year, we're worried about their defense. We're never worried about the offense. So when you line up against the Cincinnati Bengals in a playoff game, Ja'Marr Chase one side, T. Higgins on the other, Joe Burrow a quarterback, you know you have a legitimate chance. They've won big football games. They've won big football games on the road in the playoffs. They've been to the Super Bowl and didn't embarrass themselves, and quite frankly, could have got a stop or two, would be world champions already with Joe Burrow. So for me, the 210, I don't want that. I want the AFC look, and I want the Super Bowl look here, because the upside on the Bengals, yeah, if they get it right, is really good, because how talented Joe Burrow and those two wide receivers are. And Al Golden coming in to change up the defense, maybe he can just hold the fort where it's like, look, can we just get a couple stops a game, because the offense is going to handle our business. So for the Bengals, I don't want a plus 210. I'm shooting higher for them because I want the better price points, because once you get to the playoffs, that's a team that nobody's going to want to face if they do make it to the playoffs.
I believe each of the last four NFL seasons now, there has been multiple teams out of the AFC North, three of the four teams from the division 2 years ago, even with Joe Flacco as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Last year, Buffalo winning the AFC East for a fifth consecutive season did not start off the year as the favorite. There was a lot of odds optimism for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. Now DRS, the Bills really in command of that division. Doesn't seem to be many challengers. You gave your thoughts on the AFC West. I think you're getting a discounted number, although it's in minus money on Kansas City. Nine straight years winning this division, and now is the year somebody knocks them off the perch. I understand the Chargers and the Broncos won double-digit games a season ago, but let's not forget what Kansas City did last season. Sure, they will not be the reigning Super Bowl champs, but they will be the reigning AFC champions for a third consecutive year and the reigning AFC West champions for a ninth consecutive season. Quickly in the AFC South, the Houston Texans winning the division, as was expected, for a second straight year. But with the addition of Liam Cohen, and hopefully a healthy Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, the Jags at a plus 240 number. I shared early in the offseason, Donnie, I was excited to see what the price was on the Jaguars out of Duval County. Do you believe there is any chance that Jacksonville gives the Texans a test for the top spot in the AFC South?
Oh, absolutely. And I like the Houston Texans as an organization, but they're going for a little bit of turmoil there on their offensive line, changing things up. C.J. Stroud also going to be getting a new play caller next year, as Bobby Slowick is not going to be back for the Texans. But understand this, too. In order to win the division, like, you do have to have some easier games. We're not calling the Colts and the Titans easier games, but plus 310, plus 650, take them off. So really, for me, it is a two-team race between the Texans and the Jags. And are they so different between the talent combined on both sides? And I like what Liam Coleman's going to bring to the table. Maybe a rejuvenation here of Trevor Lawrence's career. They have weapons there. I don't mind the 240 price. You're not going to look at me like, hey, Donnie, Jags don't have a chance. Absolutely, Ben, they do.
I really do believe it will be a two-team race in the AFC South this year. Let's talk about those NFC divisional prices up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Divisional title prices in the AFC. Now we head over to the NFC. Here are the four divisional favorites around that conference early in the offseason entering 2025. The Eagles, the reigning Super Bowl champs, a minus 170 price to win the NFC East. DRS last year, three of the four teams out of the NFC North reached the postseason. The Lions winning their second consecutive divisional championship a year after winning their first divisional crown in 3 decades. The Buccaneers have won four straight in the NFC South, plus 150 favorites. And the 49ers, the 49ers with all the odds optimism always at a plus 125 number, the favorites around the NFC West. Of those four divisions, of those four favorites, which catches your eye the most?
I'll tell you, the one that catches my eye the most, to be honest, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being at plus 150, like not even a plus 100 or maybe like minus 120. Because you say, well, hey, the Bucs, no, they're bringing everybody back. They've been known to win that division. Take a look at the Falcons. You're probably going to be starting Michael Penix, who you're hoping can be your franchise guy and provide some pretty stable, you know, play as a quarterback. Plus 195, okay. The New Orleans Saints, who do get Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. I like that move for them. Bring back Derek Carr, but at the same time, leaves a lot to be desired down there and how a couple of those seasons turned out. Then the Carolina Panthers, who are looking to take that next step, but the next step being like, okay, we're a competitive team in the division, not just the doormat here, which leads us again to the Bucs. Like, you can't predict in football. And we try to, you know, separate the, well, what happens if Baker Mayfield goes down and Mike Evans gets older, he hurts himself, and you can't do that. On its face value, like, the Buccaneers have the continuity that I like. At a plus 150 price, that really sticks out over everybody. Like, yes, the Lions, I do think, win that division. Plus 110, not all that enticing. The San Francisco 49ers, I told you, I don't want any piece of them. But even if you do think they're the most talented, plus 125. You take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles, minus 170, with the Commanders making a lot of moves. And Dak Prescott back under center for the Dallas Cowboys. So of all the divisions right now, I look at the Bucs and say, that might be the best value on the board to win the division, Ben.
Donnie, I thought it was going to be closer to even money, if not slightly into minus money as well. The Buccaneers bring everybody back. They've made some very, I think, solid additions on the defensive side of the ball. And that's a lot of belief in the Atlanta Falcons, who, even if Michael Penix Jr. is great, so doesn't necessarily mean they are going to win the NFC South at this stage. A plus 150 price on a Buccaneers team that in multiple iterations has won the NFC South for four consecutive years, I think it is a really good number. And of course, Philadelphia deserves to be a minus 170 favorite to win the NFC East. But Donnie, it should be shared, not just the Commanders on the come up. We expect the Cowboys to be better than they were a year ago if Dak Prescott can remain fully healthy. But we have not seen a repeat divisional champ in the NFC East now for two decades. The last team to win back-to-back divisional crowns in the NFC East, the Eagles, who won four straight from 01 to 04. So yes, that is a very long-standing trend, despite how dominant the Eagles have been in the NFC.
Yeah, and it's an anomaly per se, right? Because it's like the coin flip. Like, hey, 16 straight times on tails, it has to come up. No, each and every entity in a new season should bring in. The Eagles are the favorite. They should go back-to-back. But it just goes to show you, sometimes in the NFL, you have a lot of competitive teams in the NFC East. And also, you have some teams out there that are going to surprise. Maybe the Giants can have a decent season, 35-1, as I joke here, just to win the division, not even an NFC or an NFL championship. But the Commanders are really good, looking to take that next step. But I always look at the Dallas Cowboys at that plus 750 price, because when Dak plays in the regular season, he's a really good regular season quarterback. They have a lot of talent across the board. And if it is the NFL, as we say, the catastrophic injuries just take them away. Dallas is going to compete. Dallas usually splits with the Philadelphia Eagles, barring disaster at the quarterback position. They will be competitive this year. And by the way, if you haven't seen the Eagles' schedule coming into this year, as you know, when you're the best team in football, you get the hardest schedule. Their out-of-conference schedule, quote-unquote, or out-of-division schedule, is ridiculously hard this year. So if the Eagles win, let's just say, 12 games, that's a huge feat, which means somebody in that division is going to win 10 or 11 games and push the Eagles, even if they do win it. It's not a walk away for the Eagles, and you're right. Minus 170, do I think the Eagles win the division? Yes. Am I betting it right now? Nope.
The odds makers are not fond of the Cowboys this offseason, and I would agree with that in premise. But the 5 years under Mike McCarthy, the two bookend seasons, year one under McCarthy in this previous season in 2024, Dak Prescott did not play a full year. The 3 years in between, Prescott did. The Cowboys won at least 12 games, or won exactly 12 games all three seasons, in a divisional crown in two of those 3 years. The Niners as the favorites in the NFC West, we knew the odds would believe that. But the Rams at a plus 230 price is a very enticing number, and everybody in the competitive NFC North at a 5-1 number or shorter, separated by just less than $4 around that division. All right, let's get you set for the madness up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tonight, the 2025 men's NCAA tournament truly begins in Dayton, Ohio. First four matchups in a doubleheader of action between Alabama State and St. Francis, PA, the champions of the SWAC and the NAC, respectively. And then our nightcap, North Carolina, an opportunity to prove it belongs in the big dance, taking on San Diego State. But before we get there, DRS, we continue to go region by region, breaking down the bracket with the big questions that need to be asked for each of our four components of the field of 68. Let's start in the West region, where Florida is the number one seed, but there are so many compelling storylines as you look up and down all 16 teams that make up this portion of the bracket on that left side of your screen. Big question number one, because the team that is on the eight line in the West region is the two-time reigning national champ in UConn. How much does UConn's championship experience in this tournament really matter this time around in 2025?
I don't know. It's not like, you know, back in the day, as we say, in the early 1990s, like, hey, look at Christian Laettner and, you know, everybody else that's around them, Bobby Hurley. They're back again, three or four straight runs at a national championship. You don't get that. There's a couple guys left on that UConn roster, but most importantly, the coach is back and understands how to get through a tournament, how to manage expectations, probably knows exactly the schedules that work for him. Why? Because they won back-to-back and they'll probably stick to it. But also, it's the Jimmys and the Joes out there on the court. We understand this UConn team is not nearly as talented as the past two teams that won national championships. And you are running right into the buzzsaw that is the Florida Gators. Maybe it's somebody different, and I don't want to downplay Houston because they're phenomenal. But for me, What I've seen out of Florida, that's like, hey, Donnie, which team do you want to avoid for the longest string possible? It's the Florida Gators for me. And you're going to get them in round number two, fresh out of the gate. That's what makes it tough. So for me, I'm not putting a lot of stock in UConn being back-to-back national champions at this point, as if that would give them a boost. Mike, frankly, I don't even know if they make it out of round number one.
Ooh, that's a little bit intriguing in the 8-9 matchup for Connecticut, as they will get ready to take on Oklahoma. 4.5-point spread in favor of Dan Hurley's Huskies. OU, though, a team that was really proven, of course, within the SEC. I find it a fascinating conversation, DRS, because each and every year, I try to remind people this is a tournament. Your 30-plus games that you played in the regular season and during a conference tournament don't really have much of an impact on your six games that you want to play in here in a tournament. As Donnie often says, it's not a best of three. It's not a best of five. It is certainly not a best of seven. It is being at your best for 40 total minutes on any given night. Of course, your resume, what you have done, the team that you have been there with is going to lead in to how you approach every single matchup. But it is a tournament known for its madness. And yet UConn, the last 2 years in a run to a national championship, was so thoroughly dominant and impressive, it's almost like they debuted that kind of idea of this being a tournament in chaotic and changing year over year. All 12 wins for UConn the last two NCAA tourneys by at least 13 points. Average margin of victory of nearly 22 points per game. And yes, a lot of the cast and crew is gone from the two reigning national champs. No Jordan Hawkins or Adama Sanogo from 2 years ago. No Steph Castle or Donovan Klingon from this past year. No point guard extraordinaire in Tristan Newton from the 2023-24 team. But there are some familiar faces. Hassan Diarra, Alex Caravan, Samson Johnson, and of course the head coach remains in Dan Hurley. I put a little bit of stock into it for UConn. Does it change my overall outlook, I think, DRS? Would I bet the Huskies at a 24-1 price to win the West region, to represent this portion of the bracket in a Final Four, to pull off the upset over more than likely Florida in a round of 32 because of what they have done the last 2 years? No, not necessarily.
Yeah, I take a look at UConn. Some people might be buying that stock. I'm short in that stock on UConn, and it will be fun. And you know, you would, from a TV perspective, though, Oklahoma doesn't move the needle for me at all. Right now, in my first bracket, I just put Oklahoma in there. And of course, today, tomorrow, you start to really study and say, where are the matchups that are going to make sense? Just that first outlook where I'm just like, click, 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 click. I clicked on Oklahoma at this point. But understand this, once again, like UConn with their coach winning that basketball game and then taking on Florida, because you know the microphones are going to be in front of them. Like, hey, what do you think about Florida coming up? And you know what he's going to do? What do you mean? We're the two-time reigning national champions. They should be worried about us. Like, I need that in my life for the round of 32, which I'm actually hoping they get there. Now, granted, am I going to bet UConn? What's the spread going to be? Is the total going to match up? What are the vibes going to be once this game actually takes place on the 21st? We'll settle that in. And also understand this. That's a late game tip-off, too. That's that night game where it's like you wait around all day. You're watching the tournament and seeing who's going to surprise. And also, you're not even day one of the tournament here, Ben. You're day two of the tournament. So not only do you wait that whole Thursday, you wait that whole Friday with that anticipation. We'll see if UConn can get there. But UConn-Florida matchup in round number two, everybody would sign up for that. That's great theater.
It would be incredible. Bottom half of the bracket, of course, the two seat in the West region. That is St. John's and Rick Pitino. DRS, in the final 2 weeks of the regular season, we played college basketball buy or sell about Rick Pitino and where he stands in the history of head coaches in college hoops. He is the only head coach ever to lead two different programs to a national championship. He is the only head coach ever to lead six different programs to the NCAA tournament. And we asked, pound for pound, is he the best head man in college basketball history? You sold that idea. I sell it as well, but I do buy the notion he is one of the greats out there. So big question number one, number two, for the West region. And it's a big if St. John's won the national championship this year, would Rick Pitino then be the pound-for-pound best college basketball coach ever?
No. Look, he goes three in a row. He would be the pound-for-pound. But Mike Krzyzewski's numbers on national championships and getting to Final Fours and longevity and the amount of wins he has and also, like, the external things, like, yeah, I go and coach NBA players and I win gold medals as well. Like, this guy has done it also. It takes a lot to knock Krzyzewski off. And, we're not downplaying Rick Pitino, one of the single best college basketball coaches that have ever done it. That's him. He's just not the overall best coach who's ever done it. That's always going to be sustained there for Krzyzewski. But also, if we are having fun, like, you do get a bump up. Like, when you go to a lowly school like Iona and bring them to the promised land when nobody else could do that, like, you do get extra credit in my book. So I do give him credit for that. And by the way, wasn't Iona College then turned into an Iona University because Rick Pitino gave it that panache and style? Like, the guy's doing bigger things. They're just winning on the basketball court.
I do believe so. What Donnie is saying right now, just so everybody knows, is a slight inside joke with DRS and his Moneyline co-host. That would be Kevin Walsh. Of course, we do give respect to Tim Clues here on this show leading Iona, and we give respect to Tobin Anderson, who I think got a very raw deal despite leading the Gaels to that MAC tournament title game just this past weekend. Rick Pitino did a lot for Iona, but Iona did a lot for Rick Pitino, who was not necessarily in the best of the graces around college hoops until that trip in New Rochelle. There is no doubt about the success that Rick Pitino has had on a bench or on a sideline. If he were to win a national championship at three different schools, I think it would be very hard to say he's not the best to ever do it. Mike Krzyzewski has the pedigree because of the amount he has won at one stop. But if variety is the spice of life and you can prove that you can win at the highest of levels in many different arenas, in many different leagues, then I do believe Rick Pitino has a bump in his overall resume.
Does the white suit come? When's the white suit come out, though? Do we wait for maybe a Florida-St. John's matchup? Like, does he bust it out right away to set the tone? Or is it like, ooh, they got a tough game. And, like, you know, he comes out maybe a sweatsuit before the game, some nice kicks on, goes back into the locker room, makes that change. Like, we've seen college football teams and pro football teams change that jersey, like, get the crowd real fired up. Like, he walks out on that court in an Elite Eight with the white suit on. Business is business at that point for Pitino. Yeah.
It's a great question, DRS. Would he break it out before a Final Four appearance? Does he plan to break it out at all? It's a really good question. St. John's, 18.5-point favorite in its opening round game against Omaha. Bracket by bracket, piece by piece. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, we continue to go around region by region around the 2025 men's NCAA tournament. and ask at least one, if not a few, big question for every portion of the bracket. Let's go to the East region. The number one seed in the East region is the national championship favorite. That would be the Duke Blue Devils. So let's start with the Blue Devils, and let's start with the biggest question perhaps for Duke entering the big dance, the status of Cooper Flagg. As John Shire has said, he should be ready for the round of 64. Duke, an additional day of rest, their first game, not until Friday. Big question number one to you, DRS. How many minutes should Cooper Flagg play in Duke's round of 64 game?
Healthy, probably should play half the minutes or so. And that's really probably all you need. This isn't a game where it's like, hey, buddy, we're going to need you full 40 minutes here on this effort. So give me 15 to 20 minutes, which means first half up 15 points. Maybe get in for a little bit in the second half, but you quickly come out. Duke is a very, very strong team from top to bottom. They show that in the ACC championship rounds without Cooper Flagg. But I need to see him on the court, because if he's healthy, I need to him to get – understand this too. He's not a four-year college veteran. Like, hey, man, we've been to the tournament every year, have two national championships. I'm going to be fine. Yeah. He hasn't been to the tournament yet. Am I saying that the stage might be too big in the first round for the NCAA tournament for Cooper Flagg? No. Like, this guy went toe-to-toe as like a 17-year-old with NBA players and was out there dominating for portions. He'll be just fine, but I just need the rust factor to be down. Get that jump shot off. Run the court with the boys again. Get those vibes going so by the time you hit round two, you're going to get an SEC team or a Big 12 team. You're going to need him full go. So as long as needed that he's healthy, I want him to knock the rust off. You don't need to overplay him at this point, but he's going to need to get his minutes.
Yeah, I would say get him out there, give him some run, DRS. Even if he was fully healthy, you would more than likely not need Cooper Flagg for a lot of the action. Duke, of course, awaits the winner of tomorrow night's first four game between the 16 seeds. That is American University, the champions of the Patriot League against Mount St. Mary's, the champions of the MAC. AU, 2.5-point favorite for tomorrow night's first matchup in Dayton. Duke is going to be, at least you would presume, 27-28-point favorite for that opening round of 64 matchup. But I do think it is important to give Cooper Flagg some run. Donnie, it kind of ties into our second big question. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but it's the idea of the talented freshman here in the NCAA tournament. In the one-and-done era, teams that had an outstanding freshman class or the projected number one overall pick did not often go all the way to a national championship. We have seen them make a deep run in the month of March, but it's the idea of having that veteran-laden team that at the stage in a tournament known for its chaos can rest on their laurels. Are you concerned at all about Duke's lack of experience with its best players like Cooper Flagg, Con Knipl, Common Maliwatch, or are you really not, because there's a lot of veteran pieces in this Blue Devils team as well?
2 weeks ago, Ben, I might have a different opinion on this. Yeah, you know what? Flagg went down really late in the ACC championship game. Now they might be without him. They haven't been without him all season long. They were without him for a game where they were shocked and obviously talking about, like, I wonder if Flagg's season is over for us now. You know what they did? They rebounded against Georgia Tech and beat them. Then they went on to beat their rival without Cooper Flagg. Then they went on to win the ACC championship without Cooper Flagg. So for me, I actually think this is a bonus. Like, we separated the best player in the country from the team. You know, they responded with nothing but victories. Like, coach, we got this. Let us spin out here. Now getting your best player back, it's not going to be, oh, I wonder how he fits back in. Like, no. Now you're ready to step up. Hey, Coop, ankle doesn't look good. Con Knipl's like, you know what? Got you. Let me go out there and fire a couple threes. I'll run this offense through me at this point. So for me, I don't look at it as a downturn at all. I look at it as an absolute positive. Now that you say this team is ready to step up without their superstar, now you get him back, not worried about experience at all here, Ben.
Yeah, I would agree, DRS, and I think there already has been some veteran pieces that John Shire did a great job of assembling around this very talented freshman core, led by Cooper Flagg, but we've seen Isaiah Evans, the freshman, step up, and we've seen a couple of the veteran pieces in the backcourt, both Tyrese Proctor, who has been in Durham for a while, and Sion James really take the mantle. Mason Gillis was a glue guy for Purdue last year as the Boilermakers made a run to the national championship game. He is there for Duke this year. I do believe the absence of Malik Brown could be costly. His status for the entirety of the big dance a little bit more up in the air than that of the Blue Devils. And Duke, not only the national championship favorites, Donnie, now trending below a $3 price, a minus 140 favorite to win the East region. That would be a Final Four berth for Duke. Alabama, fresh off its first Final Four run a season ago, plus 440. They are the 2 seed in the East region. Let's get to the South region, where the number one overall seed resides. That is the Auburn Tigers. The number 2 seed, though, at the bottom, that would be Michigan State. And our first big question, courtesy of our producer, Joe Friezo, number one, is Tom Izzo actually overrated when it comes to the NCAA tournament?
No, I can't go with that. Like, I know success is sometimes few and far between for some of these guys, but do you ever line up in a game? Like, honestly, like, forget my, you know, perspective or Ben's perspective. Let's just say Michigan State winds up in March Madness, which they always do. Do you think other coaches go like, it doesn't have one of his good teams, that's going to be an easy bypass? Like, no, you expect greatness out of Michigan State, not because of the players on the team, but because of Tom Izzo. And so, well, he hasn't won a national championship in so long, it doesn't matter. That team is usually more prepared than any team on a given day-to-day basis, where if you want matches, like, oh, this is a tough matchup for us. You know what I want as my coach? Tom Izzo to figure out what matchup we can try to exploit. And when you look at the actual, you know, bracket that they're in, I love it. I think it could be a clean run because I talked about Iowa State down with a little bit of injuries here. Michigan State is one of those teams you need to watch out for, specifically Auburn, where if you handle your business, you're going to wind up in the Elite Eight against Michigan State. So for me and Tom Izzo, as much as I want to hate on Tom and he hasn't won in a long time, you got to be kidding me with that. There's no way Tom Izzo is an overrated coach for March Madness.
Yeah, get out of here with that junk. And I know Joe Friezo is doing it just to kind of entice us, but it is absolutely junk. I can understand maybe the thought. Well, you've been there for 27 consecutive years, and you only have one national championship to show for it. But this is a tournament known for its chaos and its madness. Not everything is defined by just winning a national championship when you have the proven pedigree of 8 Final Fours, the most ever for any Big Ten head coach. 56 NCAA tournament victories, the most ever for any Big Ten head coach. And I would hear it if other Big Ten programs had won a national championship. Nobody has since the Spartans did in 2000. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Portion by portion, region by region, around the men's NCAA tournament here in 2025 with the madness officially beginning on this Tuesday evening in Dayton, Ohio. So big question number one for the South region was about Michigan State. Friezo, I love you, but I'm going to change big question number two that was about Michigan's outlook, the champions of the Big Ten tournament, and as the 5 seed in this portion of the bracket, because I really think it should be about the number one overall seed on the top line in the South region, who is now the slight minus money favorite to represent this portion of the bracket in a Final Four. That would be Auburn at a minus 105 price. DRS dropping 3 of the Tigers' Final Four. Mm-hmm. Entering the NCAA tournament. My big question for you, how concerned are you by Auburn's poor play as of late, and has it changed their NCAA tournament outlook in your mind?
No, not at all. It hasn't. It's a tough conference. It's a tough way to go through that entire season. Yes, you're going to have a lot of teams that are going to be gunning for you because you've been number one all season long. You have one of the best players in the country. You get the best punch from the best teams in the best conference. You're going to lose some of those games. Now, you're hoping that you had a full week off. You could decompress. Then you get into the out-of-conference slate, if you will. You should have a layup in game number one. And then after that, you are going to get strong test and strong test. But everybody is under the same guise. It's neutral court. May the best team win. Nobody's going to have home court advantage. Not going on the road to take on Alabama in their own building. Not going on the road in the SEC to take on the Florida Gators. You're going to have an even basis, which I feel, pound for pound, depth-wise, probably Auburn is the best team overall. So for me, say, hey, would you rather be on a 10-game win streak? Of course you would. But there's also people that go, oh, that's tough. You're on a 10-game win streak. Would have been nice to get that streak over with. Like, some people actually bring up those stupid point of comments that they like to have. Yeah. Auburn, for me, no issues whatsoever. Take them. Feel comfortable about it.
Donnie, I actually do believe it's a little bit surprising to see some of the numbers around Auburn. That was really there neck and neck, even in front of Duke, setting the pace for the Blue Devils in terms of those national championship odds and Final Four prices throughout the entirety of this college basketball season.
Yeah.
Auburn now the third best number to win a national championship at 5 to one. Now, they have to fix some of the issues that have plagued them, but to Donnie's point, a road loss in College Station against A&M in the final week of the regular season, a home rivalry game in overtime at the buzzer against Alabama, who is on the two line. Yep, they escaped past Ole Miss in the opening round of, or their opening game in the SEC tournament, and a hard-fought game against one of the best teams in the Big Dance as well in Tennessee. I still think the outlook for Auburn should be there. I still expect them to be at least in the South Regional Final. That would be an Elite Eight appearance. DRS, let's get to our fourth and final region. That would be out in the Midwest. You look at what we have here in this portion of the bracket. Scroll your eyes down to that 5-12 game. Clemson and McNeese. Of course, it has been circled by many as that classic 12-5 upset in the opening round of 64. I love the question from our producer, Joe Friso. Big question number one. Is McNeese now too obvious of an upset pick?
I don't think so, because I think they still don't have that name recognition. Like, it used to be like, oh, St. Mary's could be an upset pick. And that, St. Mary's has a lot of name recognition now. Maybe back 20 years ago, hey, loses team Gonzaga could be an upset pick. The name recognition isn't there for McNeese to say this isn't a big-time win. And also Clemson, you're also now stressing on how actually good was the ACC this year if we think there's only three really good teams there and the amount of competition they played. Because it is different when you talk ACC to SEC, like, whoa, you're getting the 12th best team in the SEC. That's still a gut punch for another team playing them because of how deep that conference was. We talk about Clemson being the third best team, second best team behind the Duke Blue Devils there. Now you get McNeese and you have a head coach. It's like, guys, we've been to the tournament before. Like, I've been to the tournament before with other situations. Why can't we beat this team? Like, McNeese isn't heading into there. Man, job done. Fantastic regular season.
Yeah.
Now let's just go and see what happens in the tournament, because if we go home, we'll still have a party. McNeese actually believes they should win this basketball game, and why not?
Last year, a lot of this same cast and crew was a trendy 12-5 pick to beat Gonzaga. They got beat by more than 20. This year, a trendy pick as well. 62% of the money on the spread on FanDuel backing the Cowboys. But maybe they learn from the lump they took last year in the Big Dance. Midwest region odds. We'll continue to ask some questions, of course, into our third and final hour. Houston, the one seed in this portion of the bracket, plus 120. They are the favorites. Tennessee, the two seed, plus 370. Gonzaga's on the eight line, and they've got the third best price to reach the Final Four out of the Midwest region at a 9-1 number. Hour number three is up next, and our first four preview begins here on the Early Line.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.